und herzlich willkommen zu The Calling, Folge deinem Ruf. Der Podcast für Frauen, die einen wirklichen Unterschied in ihrem Leben machen wollen. Im Business und privat.
So, Gwen, it's only a few days ago I saw you the first time on the online training with Sigrun. You were one of the speakers there, and I found it very interesting what you are doing. And a few minutes ago, I looked to your website and see, whoa, you are not only a digital market expert, you are the digital marketing expert, having so much Forbes 500, is it right? Forbes 500 countries working for you, like Coca-Cola, Walt Disney, or whatever. So I have a very good person now here. Imagine that you were invited to a friend's party and your friend would ask you to describe your life in a few minutes. What would you tell the others? What was your life like?
Oh man, that's such a hard question, because like you, I probably could create books and movies about my life. But sometimes when you meet someone for the first time, you don't want to overload them, right? And so usually when I talk to people for the first time at a party, I pretty much say, hi, I'm Gwen. I run my own online business. And people are like, oh, online, what's that? And I tell them, you know, I work in advertising marketing, influencer marketing specifically, where I work with brands and I promote their products and services on my channels, which I started about 5 years ago. And now I teach other people how to monetize and grow their personal brand the same way.
Okay. So let's look a little bit deeper in your life.
Yes.
So you don't have to tell us your whole story. I think then we have 3 or 4 hours.
Yes, exactly.
Minutes, five, maybe 10 minutes. Tell us about Gwen Lynn.
Got it. So I grew up in LA. I actually was born in the Philippines. I'm Filipino and immigrated to LA when I was 5 years old. I grew up here. And ever since I was little, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I think it was blood, maybe. I had, you know, my family had businesses in the Philippines. And so I think I was naturally born entrepreneur. I would sell candy in the school bus. I would sell Pokemon cards on eBay. So I was always a curious about business. But I think growing up, I kind of, you know, societal norms and my parents telling me, like, you should have a stable job and you have to be responsible, you have to pay the bills, you should do this. And so I ended up, you know, going to college, not really knowing what to do, but I always had a side hustle. I was always selling tickets or selling clothes or something on eBay because it was fun for me. That was fun being able to, you know, get 2X or 3X. Even there, I was already a marketer and calculating my ROI. And here I was graduating college, not really knowing what to do and being torn between, should I go for it and have my own business or should I be safe? And even then, I already knew that's what I wanted, but I kept getting, okay, I need to go safe route. So I got my first job. I worked in advertising in the entertainment industry, which was a great experience. I love being able to now transfer those skills that I was doing with big movies. I worked in film marketing for Sony Pictures and marketing their theatrical releases. And so I pretty much learned everything I needed to know to launch a brand, to create an audience all through my entertainment experience. And I've worked with multiple companies in entertainment doing that. And so I think it was just leading me again back to that initial calling of trying to do my own thing, but I kept putting it off. And it took me about a decade to really decide that, okay, I'm gonna try to do my own thing. And that's when I started my own platform, The LA Girl. And The LA Girl was a blog. It just started as me talking about things to do in LA, because being from LA, growing up here, lots of people are like, what should I do on the weekend? What's going on? And so it was more of a lifestyle event. And then I talked about my travels because I traveled a lot. And so 5 years ago was when I started that. 2 years in, I started working with major brands like Disney, Facebook, Google. They all reached out to me because I built an audience of LA women that was very engaged. And so I started working with a lot of brands, was able to quit my marketing job, but super thankful for it because I learned so much. And then people were asking me, how did you do that? How can I quit my job? How can I create my blog? How do I monetize? And so I landed in the online business world where I was like, I get a little tired repeating the same answers to everyone. Why not create an online course? And then I created a bunch of courses and put it in my membership. And now I have the Spark School, which is my secondary business, and I teach influencers how to grow and monetize their business. And we now have over 750 members in my students that I get to teach every single day. So I'm so happy that, you know, even though, you know, I think I was really wanting to do this way before in my early 20s. I had to go through that journey and get that experience. And then now we're here. So that's kind of my life story-ish in 5 years, in five minutes or less. But there was a lot of ups and downs. It didn't just go, oh, I started, I won. No, there's lots of up and downs, lots of challenges. I changed my offer a lot of times. Sometimes I struggled with, is anyone even reading my blog? Is anyone even watching my videos? All those, you know, challenges that originally come with starting a business. So, yeah.
We will talk about these challenges because the people wanted to know, okay, when you're struggling, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? So
yeah.
For me, what is interesting, you told me that with 5 years, you came from the Philippines to America. Was it hard for you and your family, or was it really easy to integrate or immigrate to the US?
So it was tough for me. So I was 5 years old when I came here. So that brings us back a little to my story, which I think might be helpful for you guys, is when I was born, I was with my mom, and you know, there it's very cultural that you stay with the family. And so my father had actually gone to the US already, and my mom actually went to follow him after I was born, and I was left with my grandparents when I was 4 months old. And so I was not with my parents for about 4 years. Because they weren't able to bring me to the US because of immigration purposes. And they wanted to set up that life there before I left. So it was really hard for me because when I came, I was attached to my grandparents and not really my parents. And I also had a lot of abandonment issues. I didn't understand then, you know, immigration. And I just felt like why they came to visit me, but I couldn't go with them. And so I always felt like, why could I not go with them? And I always had feelings of rejection as well. And so they also had my sister when they came to the US. And so she was able to travel back and forth with them. And so I always felt like, why am I not allowed to go with my parents? and so when I was very young, I had those issues. So when I came, I felt very like not part of the family because I was left behind.
Okay. Coming back to the calling, what exactly do you think is your calling, your greatest gift, purpose, however you would call it?
Yeah, so when I was building my business, I felt like it was to help people with my content. And then when people started asking me, how do I do this? I realized that my calling was to teach other people. And this experience was not because I wanted to be successful as an influencer, but to actually be able to teach and mentor other influencers. And when I looked at all the issues, they all went back to the same thing. It was actually self-worth and it was worthiness. And all of them were struggling with worthiness. and being able to monetize and sell themselves as a brand and ask big brands for money and to pay them for their services. That was their biggest struggle. And so for me, it's my calling to help them rediscover that they are worthy and that they are worth something. And that does go back to my own story as when I was a child, when I had to go back and realize that I was worthy. And so that's really what I teach people, is like to recognize their self-worth.
Okay. And did you have some more important crossroads when you felt okay? Yeah, the first time when you came to America, maybe later, tell me about some important crossroads and moments when you are not really think of, oh yeah, I'm really clear to my decision, and maybe where you struggled a little bit.
Yeah, so there were lots of struggles growing up. So when I came to America, I felt like I didn't belong. I didn't speak a lot of English, and I was really young for my age, going into school. And so I really struggled with like belonging and having a sense of community. And so I think now with my business, it's so important for me to give that community to my students. And so I'm seeing that, I'm living that out. And then really that crossroad came at those points of like, do I go to college or do I start a business? And because in my mind, I wanted to please my parents and please my family that I had been desperately wanting to belong in, I wanted to show them, okay, I am going to take the path that they expect. And I felt like I wanted to meet their expectations of me, because this whole time I was trying to please them. And so I went to college, and even in college, I was like, is this what I really want to do? You know, is this even worth it? Like, I go to class, but I just felt like, you know, I'm one of those people that I'm super creative. I have lots of ideas, but of course something in my mind was always like, no, but I have to be safe first, or I should get a degree so that I have something to fall back on. Right. And in Asian culture, it's like, you have to go to school. There's no not going to school. There's no dropping out and, you know, doing something else, like that. You have to have this. And I also felt like, at the time, like my parents, they did everything for us to go to school and to get the dream. And they brought us here to be able to have those opportunities. So I had that guilt of like, I have to do this because, you know, my parents brought me here so that I can have these job opportunities and stuff like that. And so in my 20s, after I graduated, that was when I was like, what do I really want to do? And what do I want to create in the world? In the 20s to 30s, that period was a lot of like self trying to figure out who I was and who I wanted to be. I traveled a lot. I lived in Europe for a while because I was trying to figure it out. I would be at my job and I would be sitting at my cubicle thinking, is this all? Am I just going to stay here till I'm 60 and then retire? Like, looking out the window, I'm like, am I stuck here 9 to 5 every day for the rest of my life? So there were times where I was questioning, like, what am I supposed to be doing here? And in the back of my mind, now knowing, like, it has always been, there's always been something there, but I think I was just not ready or brave enough to pursue it. And it wasn't until my late 20s that I realized, you know what, like, I don't want to be that person that's stuck in an office for 40 more years. I want to help people on my terms. And I just felt like working in advertising and the entertainment industry, it's great, but like, who am I really helping? And am I seeing a direct impact? I'm seeing a direct impact in people's wallets and the CEOs are getting rich, but, and you know, like, I could trace it to like, oh, when they watch a movie, they are emotionally connected. But I didn't feel like I had a direct connection with the person receiving that impact. And so when I started my own business, I would hear people say, thank you so much for writing this piece of content. It really helped me. I got direct feedback, and that gave me validation too that I was doing something that made an impact on people. And then when I started teaching, that impact was a whole nother level. I was not just helping people figure out what they wanted to do in LA on the weekend, which is great, but not, you know, it's a superficial kind of help. And in this case, now people are like, my students get to say, I'm confident that to charge for my work. Now I know that, you know, I can impact people by talking about my journey and my story. Because I shared about my illness or my condition, people are coming out and saying, oh, me too. Like, I'm going through that as well. And so now with what I do, I feel like it's definitely, it was worth all the challenges and it was worth all the obstacles because I am super happy right now. And if, you know, time is not guaranteed, and if it ended tomorrow, I would be happy with what I did in my life.
Very good. That's the same for me. I can say every day, okay, when now life is off, shit happens. I love my life.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. What gave you the strongest feeling of fulfillment and meaning in your life?
When I hear from my students, that is the number one thing. I don't have any biological children. I do have a stepdaughter. So I kind of feel like I am that like leader figure, mother figure to my students. Sometimes I nurture them, I help them. As my husband and I say, our business is our baby. So our business gets all our energy and all our love and our attention. Like when we're hiking, we love to hike and travel. All we're doing is talking about our students. And when we share in the group our wins and people's revelations, and we have mindset calls where they start realizing, oh my gosh, like there are people out there who want to know me. I am worthy. I literally cry reading their posts because I can see the transformation. I can see the changes happening. I can see that. And what I love with working with influencers is most of them have their own audience. And so my impact is then a ripple effect to the impact they can make on their audience. And most of them have 1,000 followers, 10,000 followers, 100,000 followers. And so my mission is to impact in hopefully at least a billion people just by helping 100,000 influencers with 10,000 followers. I did that calculation. I'm able to do that with the ripple effect that I'm creating with the influencers I'm working with.
1 billion people. Okay. It's a really small mission, but it's okay. Great. I love it. Yeah. For me, my mission is to remind people, now women, to their birthright, to remind millions of women to their birthright, the right of a fulfilled, successful, healthy life full of wealth. And yeah, I love that. Wow. So how has your life changed since you followed your path? What was different to the life before?
Definitely that freedom. So before, when I was going to my job, I just felt like I was, you know, a prisoner. It was, you know, not literally, but it felt like I, you know, felt committed that I had to physically be in the office, and then my energy and my creativity would belong to the company I worked for. And I felt like I would be sitting in my chair in the cubicle. I'm like, oh my God, is this it? It really felt like I was suffocating, and physically it started manifesting. Especially when I was doing my business on the side, I couldn't wait to get home to work on my business. I woke up every day at 5 a.m. so I could have about 3 hours to work on my business before I go into work. So I became very obsessed with creating this, it was like the path to freedom. It was like my salvation. I could be saved by this other thing I was creating if I could, you know, I was able to monetize and get it to the point where it can replace my salary. So I would be like looking at the window, like, I can't go. I mean, no one was holding me down physically, but it did feel like I was a prisoner. And so at the end of my corporate career, I would get to the point where I would wake up and feel like my tummy ached, and it was just a physical, like my body was rejecting it already. My husband was like, quit your job already. I'm like, no, I have to get to a certain point. Luckily, it didn't last that long. It took about like 3 months for me to quit and like go. And my boss was super happy because he knew, he was following me on Instagram. He knew what I was up to. And he was like, is it time? And I'm like, yes, it's time. So he was super happy for me. He's like, if you can do it on your own, why not? If you have the chance, the opportunity to build your own thing, he's like, why not? So I'm super happy about that. So now like I work and I'm still in the office building my business, but it's on my terms, right? If I want to go for a hike, if I want to go to the beach, I can do whatever I want. And I have the opportunity to move my day, be flexible. And I love going to my job knowing that I am impacting those people directly. And I could see the impact. I could see the changes in real time. And I don't have to wait to see it like years from now. So I do love the freedom. And I love to see the results that I was able to directly impact.
Okay, yeah. Let's dive a little bit deeper. What have been the most touching or moving moments in your life so far?
Yeah, I think some of it is definitely back to, you know, working with my students when I'm teaching them one-on-one and I could see their face and kind of something goes off. Like they would be doubting themselves, being like, can I even do this? I don't have time. I really want to support, you know, my husband, my family with this business, but I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. And so I work with them through it. I coach them and I'm able to see like physically that they are able to see the possibility that it can happen for them. So some of the touching moments is when, you know, my students are like, oh my God, I was negotiating with a brand and I asked for 3 times the amount and they said yes, and they couldn't believe it. And they're like, yes, you are worthy. And, you know, it's not really about, you know, the brand. It's about you asking for your worth and being confident about that. And then I've had people quit their jobs because they were able to create a business. So similar to the path I was in, like their business was able to sustain their livelihood. And so they get to stay home with their kids. They get to, their husband's now working with them in their business. So I love being able to help them with that success. And that is the most touching for me. Like if I just have those every day, I'm a happy person. I love seeing that results. And also like now, my husband is working with me in the business now. So he is part of the business. So the fact that I'm able to do that and we're able to be free and live on our own, that has been the best feeling.
So he's your CEO, yeah?
No, I'm the CEO. No, I'm the boss. He's the COO and the CTO. So he does tech and operations. But yeah, I'm the CEO. I technically started the business before we were dating. So I had to tell him like, nope, this is my business, but you're welcome to work for me.
So I've never heard someone telling me, okay, my husband is working for me.
Yeah, my husband works for me.
Great. I love that. So a little bit for the people. What are your three most important characteristics and strengths that you still use today to consistently follow your path?
Wow, great question. So three strengths. Number one is I feel like I am resilient. I think that because I've been able to go through a lot of hardships in my childhood, in my family, and kind of like having to support myself after college, and that resilience has carried me through. And so for me, I'm one of those people that will not give up. And there might be times where I feel like giving up, and that day I don't feel like doing anything, but I'm one of those people who can pick myself back up and keep going, even if it's baby steps, even if it's going to take years. I always believe that I can do it as long as I keep going. So I think that's been something that's really helped me. I've had major changes. I changed jobs a lot. I was trying to do different things. I move a lot, but I am able to be resilient and power through anything. So that's one of them. The second one is I think I have really good communication skills. I'm able to communicate what I'm saying very well. I think a lot of people struggle with sharing their story because of fear of judgment. And I used to struggle with that a lot. I used to not share, you know, stories of abuse, or I have a sexual assault survivor. And I've gone through lots of worthiness. I had to go through therapy for many, many years. And now I share it openly because I know that people can connect with that emotionally. And I think that when I share it, there are lots of people who are not brave enough to share it, but they feel like they're not alone. And if they can see someone who's overcome that and was able to be successful, then they could see the possibility themselves. And so for me, it was hard in the beginning to start sharing, and because, you know, sometimes in cultural expectations, society, you're like, don't air your dirty laundry, or don't tell people your stuff, like your closet, you know, stuff in the closet. The family wants to keep it locked up. But I realized that when I share the story, more and more people are like, wow, like, that happened to me too. Or wow, like, you were able to still be successful after all of that. And I volunteer myself as tribute to show that you can overcome anything if that's what you really want, and if you want to go after that dream. So communication, we talked about resilience, and the third one, I think the thing that has helped me get to where I am is the willingness to learn. I think I am forever learning. Like, just because I'm a coach and a teacher doesn't mean I'm not always a student. I am a student forever. Like, I love learning. I take many courses. I take programs. I have coaches myself, because there's always someone who can teach me something else, someone who can give me learnings from their experiences. And I think that sometimes when people reach a certain level, they think they're done learning. And I don't believe that. I feel like we're always, always learning. And so even from my students, I'm learning. And so I think if you keep an open mind and open heart and be willing to listen, that you move faster because you're able to soak it in instead of rejecting other people's ideas and things that you could possibly learn from.
Mm-hmm. To talk from communication, I think the being authentic is the new gold in sales.
Yes. And
I don't know if it is the same in America, but in the German speaking countries, fake it until you make it. It's everyone is doing that. And I think the people want to know the real stories of the people and not only the successful stories.
Yes.
That they, yeah. So, and it's for me the same. I the people are listening to me because I tell them my story, my real story. And that's what is, yeah, where I can give an impact to them. And I hope that the people are going more and more and more being really, really authentic, because that's it. That's me. That's you. And that's life.
Yes, definitely. I think it is something that is happening more and more in America, and also on Instagram, right? Because everyone shows their pretty pictures, but we all know that's not real life, right? And so I just shared something yesterday about like my arm that was hyperextended, and people were focusing on my hyperextended arm in the photo and not what I was saying. And it was a lesson that sometimes people focus on one thing when there's all these other things happening. And so people thought it was funny that I shared the photo and I pointed out the flaws. But in reality, that's what people want to see. They relate more to the struggles and the challenges rather than, hey, me, I'm winning all the time. Here's my success. Here's my numbers. Here's all the good stuff. Everyone's like, where's the bad stuff? I want to see the bad stuff.
You're right.
Hey, tell me your what is behind your door.
Exactly.